Father, I thank you. As always, the entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be for us today as we share your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what we are doing today will be a recap of the wisdom series. I'm going to go through it very quickly, try to put together all the stuff we've done in so many days in less than an hour. And then you also can share your thoughts, you know, your favorite moments in throughout these lessons and the things that you came away with. And, you know, if they're already working for you as well, you know, let's hear that. And if you have any questions, we'll do that as well. I'm going to start here today. So today is the seven pillars of wisdom, a recap. And I want you to remember that when we started, before we actually did the pillars, we did the attributes of divine wisdom. Scripture for that, I'm going to go through this very quickly. Scripture for that one was James chapter 3, verse 17. I do actually remember that I asked people who were in the room when we did that particular one to try to memorize that verse, because it tells us the attributes of divine wisdom. Because we didn't want to, you know, when we got into the wisdom series, for people to think we're talking about, you know, natural wisdom. No, it says that the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. It's easy to be entreated, you know, even you can learn. And, you know, you can be persuaded towards good, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Then we went on to the pillars. The pillars we talked about, that pillars in our house, because, you know, the concept was around wisdom building her house and, you know, putting up her seven pillars. So that was Proverbs 9:1. So the concept was around that. So we talked about pillars being what we may call load bearing columns in a house that hold up the structure of the house. And we talked about, you know, cracks that may occur in the house. We can be traced to either defects in the pillars not setting right, or not properly formed, you know. So we try to put a parallel between those cracks and cracks in our life, considering that this house that wisdom is building is actually our lives. So many of the things that we probably didn't do right, haven't done right in the past, you know, if we had used these pillars and lessons from these pillars, maybe, you know, it would have had better outcomes. But today, we want to do a recap of, those seven pillars. And we went through them in detail. Today, I'm going to go through very, very quickly. I'll probably focus more on the benefits and just go through it very, very quickly. You know, so, you know, you may not, don't have to struggle too much to write down everything. They're already in the replays. But I'm going to go through it very, very quickly. So there are seven total. Proverbs chapter 8, between verses 12 and 14, many of those pillars are in there. And I also gave out an acronym of sorts to help remember. Memory Helper is what I call these acronyms, and I use them in my own personal life. So KUPDCSF, or you can make your own acronym anyhow you want. I treated these, went over these pillars, not necessarily in that order, but, you know, just something I put together. Knowledge, understanding, prudence, discretion, counsel, sound judgment, and the fear of the Lord. But of course, we started with the fear of the Lord. The benefits, many benefits from the fear of the Lord, including protection by God's angels, Psalm 34, verse 7. Those that fear the Lord will enjoy divine health, Malachi 4, verse 2. I'm going through very, very quickly. You know, if the fear of the Lord will bring us good always. Deuteronomy 6, verses 24 to 25. You know, a person that fears the Lord, their children shall be mighty upon the earth. Wealth and riches shall be in their house. Psalm 112, verses 1 to 3. Those that fear the Lord will be rewarded. Proverbs 13 and 13. It will bring good understanding. Psalm 111, verse 10. Like I said, don't try to catch up writing all these scriptures. I'm going through very quickly. They're already in the replays. I want to summarize all these things within 1 hour. Now, it brings knowledge. It brings riches. It's a fountain of life. Proverbs 14, 27. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. Psalm 25, verse 14. He gives strong confidence and on and on and on. And we gave example of two stories in the Bible. The one that demonstrated the fear of the Lord, Joseph, when he was confronted by the seductress. Tried to seduce him several times. And he said, I cannot do this great wickedness against the Lord. You know, but Joseph didn't even have the Ten Commandments, you know, at that point. But yet, in his heart, the fear of the Lord kept him from evil. We looked also on the opposite side, the David, in the case of Bathsheba and Uriah. He did not exhibit the fear of the Lord, you know, and the moment he found out that that was someone else's wife, that ought to have been a no-go area. That's an absolute no-go area. But, you know, in that particular moment, he did not exercise the fear of the Lord. You know, it shall be noted also that, you know, it was at the time that kings went to war. This is what, you know, David, he stayed behind. So I want to call that out this morning. You know, idle hands, idle minds. David was the captain of the host, you know, but when they were going to war, he relaxed and he did not engage in the fight, and he stayed behind. And then when he stayed behind, the devil played on his idle mind, you know. So an idle mind and idle hands, people say, well, you know, they are the seat of the devil. So let's be alert. No time to relax. We need to always be spiritually alert and get in the fight. Nonetheless, when he found out it was someone else's wife, he should have got right away from that. So the fear of the Lord would have kept him from that. We went on to prudence. Prudence was another pillar. And we talked quite a bit about prudence. I want to call out a few things. You know, the ability to govern oneself for the use of reasoning, conduct oneself, you know, with understanding and knowledge. The quality of acting with care, concern, and thought for the future as it relates to our time, our health, our work, our career, whatever. All these things we talked about. We talked about, you know, the ability to manage our talent, how you can grow your talent to a skill, how you can grow the skill to competence, how you can grow the competence to expertise, and you become a subject matter expert, and then eventually you become an authority, and then the people will start to seek you out. We talked about the ability to conduct our business with diligence or prudence. Proverbs 22, verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He's not before kings and not before mean men. We talked about using tact in your relationship or dealings with others. And we talked about the types of people to surround yourself with and some types of people to avoid. We talked about defining boundaries in relationships, whether friends, business, church, etc. We also talked about being diplomatic when trying to resolve matter between other parties. We gave the example, many examples of, you know, managing finances. The prodigal son that did not manage the incredible wealth that came into his hands. Mismanagement of resources was actually what got him into problems. You know, so we talked about the capacity to manage our time. The Bible says we should redeem the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5, verses 5 to 17. Then we talk about even managing our health. I even gave some quotes from the National Institute of Health, you know, how we should manage our health. And here are some warnings about, you know, how surfeiting and drunkenness can even impact, you know, our spiritual outcome. Jesus gave a warning. Luke 21 and 34, he said, you know, that we should be careful that we are not engaged in surfeiting and drunkenness till that day take us unawares. So surfeiting and drunkenness could even lead somebody to miss the day. That would be terrible. Talk about some of the benefits. I'm having something come through my phone here. I'm not sure where it's coming from. We talk about the some of the benefits of prudence, you know, to keep us in the way of evil. Keep us a prudent man who seeth the evil and hideth himself, etc. Then we went on to knowledge. Cover a great deal of things in knowledge. Here's a punchline that I want to remind you of that I said in the at the corridors of influence. Knowledge is the king. Yeah, because you gotta have knowledge to be able to hold your own. Knowledge is what fills the chambers of the house with precious and pleasant things. Wisdom builds the house. Understanding establishes it, but it is by knowledge that the house is filled with pleasant things. That's Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 4. We talked about the capacity to seek out all kinds of learning. Ecclesiastes, the preacher, in Ecclesiastes 1:13 said he has, you know, taken time to seek out many things. I encourage people to try to know a little bit about everything, not be an expert in everything, but know a little about something. Be aware of what's going on. And knowledge gives you strength. We talked about the knowledge that you have that others do not have is what gives you an advantage over them. Hosea 4 and 6 gives us a very stern warning. My people perish for lack of knowledge. We also talked about increasing knowledge. Even the Bible says the knowledge shall increase globally at the end of the age. Talks about that in Daniel. You know, and the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So knowledge is an amazing thing. But the capacity to get more knowledge, we brought it out from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, knowledge of the glory of God will be like the waters cover the sea, which means if knowledge was like an ocean, then our learning is like taking a container to the ocean. You know, so, you know, you can take a container, you can come back multiple times, and you can still get more. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2 says, if any man thinks he knows anything yet, let him know that he doesn't know anything as he ought to know. So there's always opportunity. And we don't want to be like those who are learning and never come into knowledge of the truth, but we apply what we are learning. The goal, according to Ephesians 4, 11 and 13, is that we should come to the knowledge of the Son of Man. Hallelujah. You know, so I want you to know that this knowledge thing is very deep. When you have knowledge, you have, you know, confidence even to make, to speak. Paul instructed Timothy to give attendance to reading, which will help him, you know, to not feel despised. He told him, do not let anyone despise your youth. But how do you make sure that doesn't happen? Well, give attendance to reading. Increase your knowledge bank from time to time. Talked about that, both spiritual and physical knowledge. Now, then we went on to talk about, you know, after we did knowledge, we went on to talk about counsel. Counsel, powerful powerful stuff that we were able to bring out. And counsel, if you have it, we talked about, look, it'll promote you. Even when others are being laid off, they'll keep you because people will be seeking out that kind of counsel, strategic counsel. We highlighted the fact that it was the Joseph's ability to give great counsel that actually promoted him. It wasn't just this interpretation of dreams. That one made a way for him to stand before the king. He says, your gift will make room for you. So interpretation of dreams made a way for him to stand before Pharaoh. But if he had interpreted the dream and had not given a solution, he might not have gotten that incredible promotion. But by the spirit of counsel and discretion, he prescribed what needed to be done over the next, 7 into 14 years. And he gave an incredible amount of wisdom. And even Pharaoh recognized it and promoted him immediately, to all over the land. He said, only in the throne will I be greater than you. And everybody bowed the knee to Joseph. Counsel was what got him there. Now, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep waters and deep wells. And a man of understanding will draw it out. So, counsel comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, here are some other things about counsel. Counsel is at the very core of the seven pillars of wisdom. If you have this counsel, wisdom speaking in Proverbs 8:14, it said, counsel is mine. counsel, here's the other thing that we called out about counsel. Counsel, it's not just about giving advice to others. We talked about that. But counsel for your own life. Counsel of the Lord within you to guide you for your life. And, this skill is invaluable if we have it. Solomon was sought out from all over the world because of the counsel, spirit of counsel that he had. And, in terms of giving counsel to others, I talked about even improving your communication skills. You may have good advice, but if you don't know how to communicate it, you may even have strategic advice in business, but if you don't know how to communicate it, it may not come across with the same effect that it could have had. So develop your communication skills. We talked about that. We talked about surrounding yourself with people that give good counsel, and so on and so forth. And many of the benefits of counsel that we called out, it will give you even victory over your battles. It will give you wisdom to choose your battles. By counsel, you make your war, and all that. And when we were dealing with prudence, I rushed through this very quickly, but now that I'm talking about people to surround yourself with, let me cover that as well. Four groups of people to surround yourself with and four groups of people to disengage from. Kinds of people to surround yourself with. I don't know whose mic is on stage that is coming through, but something seems to be coming through. Please check your mics. I'm showing that mics are off, but I'm still hearing some sounds. Four kinds of people to surround yourselves with. These are people who know your weakness, but they won't crucify you for those weaknesses, but they'll help you get out of the problem. Number two, people who know your strengths will encourage you to grow in those strengths. Number three, people who are already where you want to be, but are willing to help you get there. Number four, people who will fight your battles even in your absence. So people to surround yourself with. Now, here are four categories of people to disengage from, if at all possible. Stay away from people who do not respect your values. people don't respect your values, what does the Lord tell us? You know, he said, look, the coming of the Lord is at hand. And because the coming of the Lord is at hand, he said, let your moderation be known unto all men. Philippians 4 and verse 5. Your moderation being known to all men means communicate your values. And for those people who do not respect your values, then disengage from them. We even brought that into relationships that may lead to marriage. You know, when people are trying to get married and you're communicating your values to the other person and they don't respect those values, that's not the person you want to shack up with. It's not going to work out. You know, so we have to use wisdom and discretion in these things. Negative critics are another group of people to stay away from. People who always focus on your weaknesses and stomp you down. You know, stay away from those. They don't see anything good about you other than your faults. You know, they are no good. Get away from them. Would-be destiny destroyers, those who are always envious of your progress, stay away from those. And number four, users who are only around you for your goodwill or influence. They have no interest in your advancement, just their own. And once they get what they want from you, they'll turn against you. They might become a rival or even an opponent. You know, and will only relate to you when they need something from you. So those are, you know, people to disengage yourself from. Now, after counsel, and you can see that I'm going through this very quickly. We also talked about understanding. I mean, understanding is right there. You know, I said, principal thing is wisdom, Proverbs 4 and 7. And you must get it. But he said, with all your getting, get understanding and the ability for comprehension, perception, and discernment. That's understanding. Power of superior discernment, in enlightened intelligence, and insight. We talked about foresight, hindsight, insight, and foresight. And the ability to even, you know, use hindsight to make better decisions today that may lead to better outcomes for tomorrow. You know, we talked about that. And we talked about Job chapter 32 and verse 8, one of my favorite scriptures. The understanding of the Almighty is what gives us inspiration inside our spirit. And rather than calling it a gut check, some people call it gut check, it is really the inspiration of the Almighty. And rather than saying something said to me, it's really the Holy Spirit that is putting that instruction in your mind. So we talked about that and the benefits, many benefits will bring you happiness. Proverbs 3:13, bring good things into your life. Proverbs 19 and 8, it will cause you to depart from evil. Job 28 and 28, it's better than silver. Proverbs 16 and 6, and we just went on and on and on. Then we covered discretion. In discretion, we talked quite a bit about, knowing how to use caution and reservedness in speech or action to the intent that we do not reveal what is not supposed to be revealed. We talked about tail-bearing, backbiting, slander, all these things, sowing discord among brethren, and caused a lot of these things caused by people not exercising discretion. Discretion is the ability to divulge information on a need-to-know basis, among other things. You know, so we talked about that quite a bit when we did discretion. And discretion will bring life to your souls, grace to your necks, you know, all of these things. Proverbs 3, 21, 22. It will keep you in the way, keep you from making the wrong turn. You know, it will help you. It will even keep you from an angry spirit. Proverbs 19 and 11 helps you to guide your affairs. You know, say a good man will guide his affairs with discretion. Proverbs 112, Psalm 112, verse 5. You know, so, all right, did I miss anything? And then I think we talked about sound judgment. I hope I covered them all. We've talked about the fear of the Lord. We've talked about knowledge. We've talked about counsel, understanding, prudence, discretion, all of them. K-U-P-D-C-S-F. And then we talked about sound judgment as well, which is probably something that encompasses all of the pillars. How to use, you know, knowledge, how to use foresight, I mean, hindsight, insight, and foresight to make the right choices and make the right decisions, how to know when to say no, you know, and all of that. We gave the story of the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins, and that how the wise virgins said no. And we talked about, you know, the things to which we should say no. We also brought out, I brought out the scripture in Jeremiah 17 and 9 about, you know, because people say, follow your heart, follow your heart. We talked about that yesterday. That look, following your heart is a slippery slope. Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful, you know, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So rather than following the heart, we recommended that people should follow the Lord and follow his word. We talked about decisions that we've made in the past, which may have brought us to where we are today, but that we still have opportunity to make better decisions today that may lead to, you know, better outcomes in the future. Four important decisions we must make in our life. Choosing the Lord Jesus as Lord of our life, number one. You know, what are you going to do with your career? Number two, what are you going to do with, you know, your divine assignment? You know, career may even, the choice of career may even impact your ability to fulfill that divine assignment. So these things are important. And who will you marry if you are supposed to marry? These are all very important things. Some benefits of sound judgment is basically all the pillars that we have talked about. So I tried to do that within about 30 minutes, and that's a wrap for the seven pillars. Again, you know, K-U-P-D-C-S-F, knowledge, understanding, prudence, discretion, counsel, sound judgment, and the fear of the Lord. So let's remember all that. Yeah, that's my recap today. I didn't want it to be very long. Now I want people to ask questions, give your own, you know, takeaways. I mean, we've been covering this for days now, you know, 7 days counting today for just the pillars. And if you count the you know, if you count the attributes of wisdom that we did before we started the pillars, that's one more day. So now I try to wrap it up within 30 minutes to allow you to give your own overall impression of all these lessons. So it's now your turn to share, and you can, anything that overall in any of these pillars, you know, your favorite takeaways. And if you have questions, or maybe there are some scriptures that I talked about and moved through quickly, and you didn't get a chance to write it down, well, we'll try to find it together, whatever. So let's make the next hour or so until we leave, a workshop. We're now going to go over, and people can, you know, bring out their thoughts, you know, and just take a few minutes so others can get an opportunity to share. And then if there's time, we'll come back around again. First go around, you know, just take about 5 minutes. And then that will allow everybody to be able to share. Then when we are gone through the room, if there is more time, we'll come back again. And then you may even have more comments or more questions when you hear what somebody else says. So initially, let's just take a few minutes. Well, good morning, and thank you everyone for being here. God bless you. Thank you for being in this room every day and listening and sharing. And those who have been participating in sharing their thoughts, and especially when they've been listening and the Holy Spirit speaking other things to them, they come to stage and they share. That's been so powerful. And I've always encouraged that in these rooms, you know, engage the Lord in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you, or engage the message in the Spirit, or the teaching or the lesson in the Spirit. Holy Spirit will give you even greater insight than what this speaker is saying. And if you have opportunity to share, you add value to the subject, and it'll be a great blessing to everyone. So God bless you all, and welcome to the room. I have several people on stage, and if you are in the listening lounge, as you are listening to others, something comes to mind that you yourself would like to share or ask, simply raise your hand. We'll bring you to the stage, and you'll share in this conversation with us. Good morning, everyone. God bless you.